You can turn in your Bibles to 1 John, the last verse of chapter 3, and then we'll be looking at the first six verses of chapter 4 as well. 1 John is a great thing in helping us to learn about and understand our physical universe. Science is not as helpful when it comes to understanding the just as real spiritual aspects of creation and of God and ourselves. In fact, in the age of science, often many ignore or even scoff at the idea of spirits and the spiritual. But John, in 1 John today, he delves into the reality of the spiritual, and that the spiritual should help you to know if you are a child of God or not. It should give you evidence. There are two types of spirits in the world, and in this passage God tells us that you can tell which of those spirits you're related to, which are involved in your life, and can confirm whether you're a child of God or not, and maybe whether your neighbor or your friend or the person sitting next to you is a child of God or not. Let's start in verse 24, because this, and John does this, I've noted it several times now in 1 John. He has this verse that kind of concludes the passage before and then moves into his next topic. And chapter 3, verse 24 does this. He says this, "Now he who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him." That's the question. If you go back to John chapter 5 and verse 13, John says, "These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." All right, he's trying to encourage and help you with the assurance and confidence that of whether or not you are a child of God. John is saying you can know. And here he says one of the ways that you can know if you abide in him and he abides in you is if you keep his commandments. All right? If you have no concern for the commandments of God, they don't matter to you. You're doing whatever you want, living in complete disobedience to God. That's not good evidence that you're a child of God. Look at what those commandments are in verse 23. The verse before, "And this is his commandment," he sums it up, that we should believe on the name of his Son Jesus Christ and love one another as he gave us commandment. Sums it up this way. One of his commandments is that you believe in his Son Jesus Christ, the King, the Messiah, the one who died on the cross for your sins, the one who rose again in victory after he had made the payment for our sins, that you have believed in him, that you've accepted that gift, that grace that comes from God, which is in his Son. That's the first commandment. And the second very real evidence of obedience is that you love one another. And so now he's saying, now he who keeps his commandments in verse 24 abides in him. You know you abide in him. That's evidence. And the second part of the verse, "And by this we know he abides in us, by the Spirit whom he has given us." God, the Holy Spirit, is given to those who believe in Jesus Christ. And there should be evidence. If God, Almighty God, the Holy Spirit, is dwelling in you, you should be able to tell. And you should know, and that should give you confidence and assurance that you are, in fact, a child of God that you have eternal life, that you are right with God. Well, he's going to explain this in the rest of chapter 4, and so we will go through this outline, and he considers it from two aspects. First of all, there is a huge contrast between the Spirit of God and the spirit of this world. And you are under the influence of one or the other. There's no middle ground. All right? And so it should be, he's going to go through, here's the differences between the Spirit of God and the spirit of the world. All right? And there's stark differences. And so with those differences, then he's going to show you how to test the spirits so you know which one you are associated with. All right? And so that's how he's going to order this passage. Or both those things are in here. Maybe that's how I ordered the passage. But he goes through those two aspects. One, it's obvious these two spirits that influence us, the Holy Spirit of God, the spirit of this world. And then second of all, it should be obvious what's guiding you. There are tests you can verify. All right, so let's go through this. First, you can see the first point. I've titled it the Spirit of Truth, which is the title for the Holy Spirit. But the first main point, he says, do not believe in every spirit. Chapter 4 and verse 1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out in the world. And you see there right away he's saying, don't believe every spirit, because there's two kinds. There's more than one spirit that is influencing the world, that is influencing you. All right, so you need to test them. Don't believe every spirit. We see this evident right from the very beginning that there are two types. You can compare Satan's influence on Adam and Eve versus God's influence and instruction to Adam and Eve in the garden. God did not desire for man to die. He said, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. This is not for you, or at least it's not for you now. Don't do this. And then Satan, oh, you will not surely die. He counters God. He goes in the opposite direction. He says, this fruit is good for you. It'll make you wise like God. God's holding out on you. And we see the end result. Mankind followed the instruction, the advice of Satan, and we are where we are. Curse on the earth. Everything's dying. We're dying. Plants are dying. Everything has this life and death. There's sickness, disease, we're broken fellowship. We see everything. And you see a huge contrast between what Satan, the spirit of this world, and what God, how they interact with man and what their desire is for mankind. So do not believe every spirit. Let's go down to verse 6. And look at just the last line of verse 6. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. And that's how I've divided the two categories. There's a spirit of truth, and then there is a spirit of error. And how do we know? Those are the two, and they should be obvious in their differences. Well, first of all, the spirit of error in verse 1, as I read earlier, it says, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. One of the results, or one of the evidences, that you are aligned with the spirit of error is that there's error in your teaching. You're a false prophet. All right? There are false prophets. That comes from the spirit of error, not from the spirit of truth. Not only that, he says there's many false prophets. This is what makes instruction and guidance by the Spirit of truth necessary, because the spirit of error is pushing that message, and it's loud, and it's everywhere, and there's many false prophets, and so there's a need for those to know the difference, because they're everywhere. There's many false teachers. You need to be alert because of the wiles of the devil, the tricks, his deceits, his manipulations, and these false prophets have gone out into the world. Jesus talked often about this. In Matthew 7, verses 15 and the first part of verse 16, Jesus himself, he said this, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves, and you will know them by their fruits." All right, they come with an appearance as one thing. In his illustration, they appear to be a sheep, harmless, one of the flock, safe. But inside, he said, under that deception, they are ravenous wolves. And you'll be able to tell them over time by what they do. Their works will give them away. Peter wrote about these as well in 2 Peter 2, verses 1, the first part of the verse. He said this, "But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies." Again, he says they're among you. They look like you, like the wolf in sheep's clothing. They look okay. But secretly, they bring in destructive heresies. Paul wrote about this in 1 Timothy 4, verses 1 and 2. "Now the Spirit of truth, expressly says that in the latter times, some will depart from the faith." Again, you have that appearance. They're one of you. They seem to be a part of the faith. But they'll depart from it, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with the hot iron. That verse even contrasts the two. You've got the Holy Spirit of truth is contrasted to the deceptions of Satan and demonic, his demons, is the fallen angels that have followed him, Satan, in their fall. These doctrines of demons, there's a difference. And they'll depart from the faith and instead chase after these false doctrines. All right, two types. This is the spirits, the spirit of error that leads to many false prophets, false teachers. You can know them by their fruits. They'll depart from the faith. It's going to be evident. All right. It's also called in verse 3, "And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist." Now we're going to get into the first part of the verse that's one of the tests, all right? But first of all, you see he calls it the spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. What is he saying there? He says he was coming and is now already in the world. If you go back to chapter 2, verse 18, it makes sense. Chapter 2 and verse 18, he says this, "Little children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour." Now, an Antichrist, again, is someone who has set themselves up opposed to or against Christ Jesus, okay? And it can be in two ways. One, everyone is consistent in this, that Jesus is not the Christ. That's how they're opposed to Jesus. He's not the Christ. And some antichrists will even set themselves up as, Jesus isn't the Christ, I am. All right? That's taking it to another whole level of antichrist, right? And John wrote, there is the Antichrist. The scripture talks about a major figure coming into the future who actually sits on the throne, sets himself up as God, as a world leader. We read about him. That's the Antichrist that is coming. But then he also says, but now there's many Antichrists as well. They're not this main figure, but we have many now who say Jesus isn't the Christ. And we'll get into some of the doctrines they teach about Christ that make him lesser than what the Word of God shows us and tells us he is, and less than what Jesus, who Jesus said he was. All right, and so there are many antichrists now. That's the spirit of error. They're opposed to Jesus in some form or manner. All right, and so this is the spirit of antichrist. That's another product of the spirit that is opposed to God, the spirit of Satan, the spirit of error, all right? And so that's the spirit of Antichrist. Again, you don't want to fall into that, so that's why you want to test the spirits. Look at verses 4 and 5. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world. Therefore, they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. So two different things. First of all, you see the Spirit, he who is in you, he's talking about the Spirit of truth, is greater than he who is in the world. You see this description of the spirit of error. He's the one who is in the world. And he's talking about the wicked one, Satan. 1 John 5:19, on mine it's just a page over in my Bible. 1 John 5:19, John writes, "We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one." All right? That's he who is in the world, the wicked one, Satan, the one who is the god of this age. And so he's described as he who is in the world, the wicked one. And he has his own children of the world. It's he who is in the world, verse 5, and they are of the world. Therefore, they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. All right? And so he has, they're his own children, those who follow him. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 4:4 about these people. He describes them this way. He says, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine on them. The wicked one, the one who is in the world, the one who the God of this age, this is how he acts. He blinds them. They're blinded. He doesn't want them to see the light of the gospel. Completely contrasted to the spirit of truth, who wants you to know the truth, that you are lost and condemned under sin, but one came, Jesus Christ, to pay that penalty for your sin. All right? And so they're the children of the world are blinded by the God of his age. And that's why we're in first, maybe it's 2 Corinthians, we're ambassadors for Christ. We persuade money. We persuade men. Here's the truth. Here's the gospel. Here's the good news. Because they don't see Jesus, who is the image of God. And then you also noted in that passage the that he is less than the Holy Spirit. He who is in you, in verse 4, is greater than he who is in the world. There's no comparison. The God of this age, the spirit of error, Satan, under whatever title you want to put him, he is not comparable or the equal of God, and specifically here, God, the Holy Spirit. He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Satan has to blind and lie to his followers. The Spirit speaks truth. And Satan will one day be finally and completely judged and thrown into the lake of fire for all eternity to suffer in agony. There is no possible victory. He is less than God the Holy Spirit. So this is the spirit of error as compared to the Holy Spirit, verse 6, the spirit of truth. The spirit of truth. Jesus called, in John's gospel, Jesus called the Holy Spirit the spirit of truth several times. Look at John, I'll read to you if you want to turn there. We're going to look at John chapter 14, 15, and 16. Starting in John 14, verses 15 through 17. Jesus says this, "If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you." Jesus said, the Spirit of the truth, when I leave this earth, I'm not going to leave you orphans. The Holy Spirit of God will still be with you. He will be with you, and he will be in you, talking about how things are going to change, and your body will become the temple of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus, talking to the woman at the well, said, the day is coming, and when you will have the Holy Spirit in you, like waters going up inside of you, and we won't be worshiping in Jerusalem or here in Mount Gerizim. He says it's going to be different. Your body will be the temple of the Holy Spirit. He also says, Jesus said in John 15, 26, "But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me." That goes along with the test later. If you have the Holy Spirit in you, he will testify of Jesus the Christ. Jesus said again in John 16, 13, "However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you." Again, that's talking about the test. You can tell whether it's the Holy Spirit of truth or the spirit of error. One talks of Jesus and tells you who he is. The other is always trying to contradict or deny some aspect of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's another passage, and we won't take the time to go there, but I think I noted it in your outline, 1 Corinthians 2, verses 6 through 16. And this goes through how the Holy Spirit knows the things of God, unlike the spirit of this world, and the Holy Spirit teaches us and helps us to understand God's word and the things of God. And so we see Jesus promised, he said, "I'm going to send you this comforter," and what this spirit of truth is going to do. In verse 2, he's called the Spirit of God. "By this you know the Spirit of God." He is the Spirit that comes from Jesus. Jesus said he sends him in John 14, and the Father, John 15, 26, which I just read. Jesus and the Father are sending the Spirit to us. In John chapter 7, verses 38 and 39, Jesus said, "He who believes in me, as the Scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. All right, the Spirit of God that would be sent by the Father and the Son, and it was going to happen after Jesus was ascended or glorified, and he would be in us. All right, he would indwell those who believe in Jesus Christ. That's John 7:38 and 39. All right, so we see the Spirit of truth. He was promised by Jesus. He's called the Spirit of God. He's the one who is in you. We've already been talking a little bit about that. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them. I'm in verse 4, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. The Spirit of the truth is the one who is in you, in God's children. So you should be able to tell them apart. In Ephesians 1, verses 13 and 14, Paul writes this, "In him you trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation." In whom, he's talking about Jesus there, he's the one in whom you trust, in him you trusted, in whom also, or in Jesus also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. All right, we are sealed. When you believe, you are sealed with the indwelling Holy Spirit of God. There is no bigger guarantee that as a child of God, you will be raised from the dead into eternal life than God himself living inside of you. There can't be a bigger gift. There can't be a better seal. There can't be a better promise than God himself indwelling you. The Spirit of truth is the one who is in you if you're a child of God, if you've believed. And then the passage in our service, Romans 8, 14 through 17, and we don't have to turn there. We've already read it today. But remember, we received the Spirit of adoption. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. The Spirit lives in you. And it's the Spirit of adoption. He places you into the family of God. And he bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So he is the Spirit who is in you. And as I said, the spirit of this age is lesser. The spirit of error is less than the Holy Spirit. Here, obviously, the alternative. He is greater. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, is greater than he who is in the world. Greater because truth is greater than lies, right? Greater because he is God in all of God's glorious attributes. And the spirit of error is Satan, and he is an angel. He is a fallen angel. He might be the highest angel at the time he was created, but he is an angel. He is a created being. He's not all-powerful. The Holy Spirit is. He's perfect in power. Perfect in knowledge, wisdom, in love. Spirit of error has no love for mankind. Starting with Adam and Eve, Satan's desire was to destroy mankind. He wanted man to die. The spirit of error is unrighteous. The spirit of truth is righteous as God the Spirit. And Satan, he's limited in knowledge, limited in wisdom, limited in strength, corrupt in all his attributes. You can see there is a huge difference between the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. The spirit who is the fullness of God, or the spirit that is limited, weak, and condemned, who deceives. These are the two options. And every one of us falls into one of those two categories. We are following either the spirit of truth or the spirit of error. We are either indwelled by the spirit of truth or we're on the side of the enemy. We're following the spirit of error. And so now he says, test the spirits. Chapter 4, verse 1, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God." All right. And so now let's look at these tests. And I've got listed two tests that I see in this passage. Tests are necessary and they're helpful. You want to know. And John is saying you should know. John, God's intent is not that we have a lot of confused Christians who are unable to be accurate in sharing the truth with others because there's all this uncertainty. John's saying, I want you to know you're a child of God. This idea of judging is in 1 Corinthians 14:29. This was in a church service when he says, let two or three prophets speak and let the others judge. He said, let the prophets speak, but you judge them. You make sure that they're in accordance with God's word and with the teaching that you've had from the apostles, etc. Let others judge. And so he's telling us, judge. Test the spirits. Test number one. Look at verses 2 and 3. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. All right? Number one, the test regards the Lord Jesus Christ. What is the person or what is the teaching on the Lord Jesus Christ? There's a lot packed into that phrase. Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. That's the statement. First of all, always remember, Jesus is his name. Christ is a title. Christ is the Messiah. Christ is the King that was promised, the King of Kings, the King that would rule on earth as the Messiah, all right? So when you say Jesus Christ, just in that name, he's saying, he's testifying that Jesus is the Christ. Anyone who says Jesus is not the Christ, they're already gone, just in how they approach who Jesus is, all right? So Jesus is the Christ. He is the King. He is the prophesied Messiah. That's just in those two words, Jesus Christ or Jesus the Christ. Second of all, he says Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. Well, the first thing you note there is that he came and he came in the flesh. There's an assumption there that he was somewhere else beforehand. It wasn't that he began his existence in the flesh. It's that something changed and now he's in the flesh. And so there's a little bit, at least I see, I think there's inherent in that, that he came, that he was God, that he came, he wasn't man from beginning to end. He came in the flesh. Something changed. Where did he come from? What was he before? The idea that he came in the flesh suggests that he is God and that he did exist before he came in the flesh, that he was something else. As John wrote in John chapter 1, the Word was God. That's what he said. He was in the beginning with God. He was not a part of anything that was created. And you'll see that's one of the premises of many false prophecy, false teaching, is that Jesus Christ is not God. He is not co-equal, fully and completely God. That he had a beginning. Well, in John chapter 1, he says, there's nothing that is created that was created without Jesus. That means he can't even be the first thing created. Because everything created came through Jesus Christ. He is the Creator. So Jesus came in the flesh and he came from somewhere. Jesus said, I and my Father are one. Jesus said, the Son must be honored just as you honor the Father. In the exact same way. All the glory, all you can say about the Father can be said about the Son. So he came from somewhere and he came in the flesh. And this is another part of the aspect of Jesus. They may say, oh yeah, we think Jesus is God, but we don't think he was man. We don't think he came in the flesh. We don't think he died on the cross and as a man was punished for man's sin. He came in the flesh. He literally came in the flesh. He literally and really suffered and died and rose again as a man in the flesh. Both the deity of Jesus Christ and the humanity of Jesus Christ and his fulfilling of being the Messiah are all in this one statement, confessing that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. Anyone who denies that he is the King, the Messiah, anyone that denies that he is the man who took our place on the cross, anyone who denies that he is God, that he didn't come from somewhere else, that he was just man, he was a man who was born just like any other man, they're not of God. That's how you can tell this spirit that is of Antichrist, whether it's that one from the future or whether it's the ones already in the world. They're opposed to Christ. 2 Peter, we read this, 2 Peter 2, starting in verse 1, Peter writes this, "But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false prophets among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies," and this is the part I'm reading this passage again for you, even denying the Lord who bought them. Part of this destructive heresies, they deny the Lord who bought them. They deny some aspect of Jesus, what he accomplished on the cross. He didn't come in the flesh. Or he wasn't God. He goes on, he says, and they bring on themselves swift destruction. But he also goes on and he says, and many, many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. By covetousness, they will exploit you with deceptive words. The spirit of error, they deny Christ Jesus. You can tell the difference. And it says, and John says, don't listen to anyone who denies these truths of Jesus. The evidence is they're not a child of God. They're false teachers, or they're under the sway of the spirit of this world, the spirit of error, and they're in need of salvation. They don't have the indwelling spirit. Doesn't matter how dynamic they are as they teach, or how sincere or how passionate they are for God. It doesn't matter how convincing they are. It's based upon this test. What do they teach about Jesus? Who is he? That's how you can tell. It's the facts of who Jesus is. And so if this is you, you ought to be able to know, what do you believe about Jesus? You'll be able to tell whether you're following the spirit of error or whether you're indwelled by the spirit of truth. Test number two. In verse 6, he says this. Now, first of all, I want to point this out to you. Look at verse 4. You are of God, little children. Verse 5, they are of the world, talking about those who follow the spirit of error. And now he's talking about we. So I just wanted you to follow that. He's talking to the ones he's writing to. Then he's talking about the ones who don't believe these things about Christ. And then he says, we are of God. This is the second test. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. He says the ones who are of the spirit of truth, they hear us. John is saying us, we, John, the apostles, those who are called by God as prophets and apostles, and we see them. What have they done for us? We're still listening to them. They've given us God's word, right? Almost every New Testament book was written by an apostle, and the few that weren't were written by disciples who were around at the time of Jesus. James and Jude were half-brothers of Jesus. They definitely knew Jesus. And so you have these. He said, we who are the apostles, the ones who have followed Jesus, the ones who have recorded Scripture, we're the ones. They don't listen to us. They don't care about God's word. They want their own authority. If you hear us, that's an evidence you know God. That includes the Apostle Paul. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 12 through 15, Paul is defending his authority and his teaching as an apostle, and he writes this: "But what I do, I will also continue to do, that I may cut off the opportunity from those who desire an opportunity to be regarded just as we are in the things in which they boast." All right? He's contrasting himself to the ones who want to be known as apostles. They want the authority, but they don't teach they don't know who Jesus Christ is, as Jesus said he was. "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works." They look good. They sound good. But if they set themselves above or over the apostles and the prophets that God has appointed and recorded in his word and recorded his word through them, then don't trust them. If they don't know who Jesus Christ is according to what's recorded in the scriptures, they're of the spirit of error. Over and over we're warned about them. They don't care about what God's word says. They don't hear us. They're the ones who twist scripture. They're the ones who remove or ignore parts of scripture. Well, that doesn't apply to us. They explain away scripture. They correct scripture with additional insight or revelation. And sometimes they outright oppose scripture. They're the ones who won't listen and hear the apostles, those who Christ Jesus, who the Spirit of truth used to record his word. They are of the world. But those who are of the Spirit of truth love this and will do everything in their power to follow and obey this and learn from John and others who have recorded scriptures for us. And so you see, you must be giving time in the scriptures so that the Holy Spirit of truth can teach you, and so that you are in a position where you can determine whether or not a person is one who listens to the apostles. See, you can't know that. You can't know if somebody pays attention and hears John unless you know what John said. You can't do it. And so you've got to be in the Word. But when you're in the Word, it's evident. And this should give you confidence. If you love the scriptures and you obey, and you're seeking to obey the commandments of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're indwelled by the Spirit of truth, that's going to describe you. Doesn't mean you can't fall away from that, but that's going to describe you. If this describes you, you're going to know who Jesus Christ is. You're going to know he's the Son of God, that he's the Son of Man, that he died on the cross to pay for your sins, and that he is the prophesied Christ, the Messiah. Two camps: those who have the Spirit of truth and those who follow the spirit of this world. Truth, superior to lies. Good is superior to evil. Power in God, the Spirit of truth, is superior to weakness. God the Holy Spirit is superior to Satan. So do those two tests. You should be able to know who you are, and you should be able to know who the ones teaching you are. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and Lord, this is, we often take far too lightly the wonderful gift given to those who believe in your Son when they're given God the Spirit to indwell them. Lord, when you seal us with your Holy Spirit, there is nothing that can separate us from your love. The work that's finished in Jesus Christ, the work that's sealed by your Holy Spirit. Lord, help us. Lord, if there's someone here who's not indwelled by the Spirit of truth, they've never trusted in your Son for their salvation. Lord, just help them to see. And to see that you sent the Lord Jesus Christ and that he came for them, that he paid for their sins on the cross, and that he rose again in victory so that they can trust in him. And Lord, help us to be testing the spirits, to be wise. And Lord, may it give confidence in our own salvation. And then may we not be prone to deception by those who are guided by the spirit of this world, by Satan, even when they try to deceive us, appearing as ministers of righteousness. So keep us in your word and help us to place these tests on the things that we're being taught. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.